Blog Talk Radio.
Episode 17, and the name of today's show is an interview with a Green Party candidate for the 12th District of Ohio's U.S. House of Representatives seat, Joe Manchick. So we've got a great interview lined up for you. We're going to get into some issues. If you want to call in at 914-205-5327. I'm your host, Tony Smith, and let's go ahead and get started. We have Joe Manchick on the line. He's a great Green. I can't say enough good things about him. We're both in lockstep as far as our views are concerned and as far as the issues within the Green Party. We're going to ask Joe Manchick some questions about his views and, you know, what's going on with the Green Party as far as co-opting and that sort of thing. But moreover, we really want to get to know Joe Manchick a little more. You know, we want to get to know what he's about. We're going to, when we get him online, we're going to have him give a brief, you know, opening statement about who he is, you know, where he comes from, what he wants to do, why he's running. And then from that point, we're going to play a couple clips as far as politics in the state of Ohio, so Mr. Manchick can address some of the issues within the state of Ohio. We're also going to deal with a clip the governor there, Kasich, said about third party. So we'll also listen to that clip and have Joe Manchick respond to both. So you guys, like I said, if you want to call in, I see everybody filing in. We definitely appreciate you all coming in. Looks like this is going to be a big show because we're at 381 people and the number just keeps going up. We're at 85 now, 385 and 389. So we're just going up, brothers and sisters. So thank you guys for coming in. Definitely appreciate it. Broadcasting throughout a plethora of social media networking sites. So wherever you are, thank you for listening in from Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Gab, Minds, Memes, or MeWe rather, and all of our social networking sites. So we thank you all for listening in. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce the man of the hour. This is Mr. Brother Joe Manchick. He is a candidate, like I said, for the U.S. House of Representatives seat in the 12th District of Ohio. So please welcome Joe Manchick, and he'll just go ahead and give us an opening statement as to who he is, where he comes from, why he's running for Congress, and what he wants to do for the great state of Ohio and for the country as a whole. So without further ado, here is Brother Joe Manchick. You have the floor, my friend.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, not a problem. Mind giving the listening audience just a, you know, a opening statement, a 2 or 3, you know, 5 minutes or so to tell us about yourself, why you're running for Congress, and, you know, a little bit about your time in the Green Party and that sort of thing. So you have the floor, my friend.
Sure. I first became aware of the Green Party back in 1996 when Ralph Nader was running for president with the Green Party. And ever since then, I've only voted for Green Party candidates. I don't support the Democratic Party or the Republican Party at all, and I really haven't at all. The last Democrat that I voted for was Jimmy Carter. So, you know, it's been a while since I've supported any Democrats or Republicans, for that matter. I'm running with the Green Party because the Green Party is the only political party in America that is for the people. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party do not represent the American people anymore. It only represents the multinational corporations that own the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and all of the elected Democrats and Republicans in Congress. So that's why I'm running for Congress with the Green Party. We don't take any corporate money, which is very much unlike the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The Democratic-Republican duopoly party gets, you know, billions of dollars from the multinational corporations that own the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, pretty much. And, you know, that's why they no longer represent the American people. They only represent the corporations that give them all this money. So that's why I'm running for Congress with the Green Party of the United States. The Green Party is the only truly progressive political party in America today. And we represent the people. We only work for the people that support us with their campaign contributions and their votes. Hello?
Yes, sir. So
okay.
What do you... Because I got a lot of people commenting on different sites. They're just popping up because I have this one, I got this new program where I can filter all the comments through this one program, so I have to click back and forth through different browsers or what have you.
Okay.
One person said, and it doesn't let me get the name, it just lets me get the comment, so that's the bad part about it. But one person said, what are you going to do about issue 2 in Ohio? And I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is, issue 2?
Off the top of my head, no. I'm not really sure what issue 2 is about.
Okay. Okay. It's a state ballot measure issue, ballot issue 2. We'll take a look of it because I have a clip about ballot measures in Ohio, and then I have one about what John Kasich said about the ballot measure, and then we'll have you comment
okay,
on that situation.
I just Googled it, and it says Ohio issue 2, drug price standards initiative from 2017.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's a current. Yeah, that's the only thing I see here.
Okay, is that something
an
that's
issue
big
last
in
year.
Ohio, or is that not a...
I'm sorry?
I said, is that something that's big? It doesn't seem like that's something that's a big issue in Ohio. What's the big issues in Ohio as far as in the 12th district? Like, what type of issues are mostly concerning people in your district that you've noticed?
Universal single-payer health care.
That's
the number one
issue.
That's the number one issue that I get from the people I've talked to in Ohio's 12th Congressional District. People are really concerned about their health care, and they rightly should.
Are there premiums going up there, or what's going on? What's the...
Premiums are going up for the people that still have private insurance. John Kasich, the Republican governor of Ohio, did a really good job with expanding Medicare and Medicaid in Ohio. And, you know, people are really, in general, pretty happy with Obamacare. But the people who have private insurance, health insurance, through the Ohio Obamacare, their rates are really gone through the roof lately. And, you know, every year they've been getting premium increases for the cost of their health care insurance. And that's why universal single-payer health care will be a major advantage to the people that are still stuck on their private health insurance.
Discuss that a little bit. What, 'cause a lot of people, believe it or not, are not hip to what single-payer health care is because they've been fed this pragmatism, you know, as far as health care is concerned. And a lot of people don't even know that health care is actually a right, which is why most people are even pushing universal single-payer health care system, because life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are the main three rights in the Bill of Rights. And the right to life is the right to health care. So it should be a human right that we have health care. Can you discuss that a little bit as far as, like, how to get people to understand what they will save? And actually, since you are versed in it, who are actually responsible? We know the politicians are responsible, you know, but who is behind the health care debacle that we're in this country, that we can't even get health care? When Obama had a supermajority in the Senate in 2008, and we could have had it then, he didn't even offer a single-payer option. He offered Romney Care, and that's what we got. So can you discuss that, like, who's behind it? Because a lot of people don't know. They just figure it's the government and you know, and everything's just expensive. So can you kind of discuss that a little bit to give people a little bit more understanding as far as healthcare? Because, like I said, believe it or not, people are not well-versed in this field. So if you could.
Yeah, that's true. Basically when Barack Obama was elected in 2008, he had the Democrats had control of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. And why we didn't get universal single-payer health care back then is most likely because the multinational insurance corporations that are providing health insurance company for America today made major contributions to Barack Obama's 2008 political campaign for president. That's basically why we don't have universal single-payer health care today. Single-payer
health care. So it's the donors that's causing it. Ultimately.
Oh, yeah. The donors to the political campaigns of Barack Obama specifically, as well as many of the members of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, you know, they got major dollars from these insurance corporations that are providing health insurance for the American people today. And as a result of that, the CEOs and executives at these health insurance corporations are raking in millions of dollars in bonuses annually because of it, because of the
Jeez.
It's an extremely profitable business. You know, it's insurance companies make a lot of money selling insurance.
And then they prey on the young, so by the time they're old, it's disgusting. God. So what would you do different? I mean, what separates you from the duopoly? I mean, they eventually, you know, if you go into that system, that rotten core. You know, with all of those people, I'm not the institution of Congress is fine, but it's the people who have corrupted the tools of power. So, like, what would you do different? Because eventually you would have to fold, or how does that work with the Green Party as far as donations and.
Yeah, well,
and not being influenced. How are you going to overcome that, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, what we need to do is we need to get rid of these insurance companies from our health care system. We don't need health insurance companies. We need health care. That's it, period. We need to get rid of the insurance companies and put everyone on Medicare.
So do you believe the insurance companies are who are driving up the costs?
Absolutely. They have total control over the costs.
So, like, what about the big pharma? Are they in cahoots?
That's a big part of the problem, too. Yeah, they're in cahoots with the insurance companies.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
So how do we break that, you think?
Well, we pretty much could nationalize the insurance corporations. That'd be one way to do it. But the thing we really need to do is just pass legislation to get universal single-payer Medicare for all health care for everyone in America passed through Congress. The way we can do that is to push U.S. House Resolution 676 through the U.S. House of Representatives. Get that back on the floor.
Can you say that one more time for the listening audience? Would you mind just repeating that saying it a little slower, so because people will want to write that down. Say that again.
Yeah, sure. There's a bill in Congress that John Conyers authored called U.S. House Resolution 676. It's also known as H.R. 676. And what that does, it will provide universal single-payer Medicare for all health care that's financed by the top 1% income earners in America. And if we can get that through the U.S. House and get it ratified by the U.S. Senate and onto the desk of Donald Trump for his signatures, the American people will have universal single-payer Medicare for all health care. It's as simple as that. But accomplishing this thing is a major task. That's the crux of what we need to do to get health care for every single American in America.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But, you know, trying to get around the politics of the whole matter is a whole nother story.
The problem is the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have not endorsed universal single-payer health care. They have not endorsed H.R. 676, and they don't even talk about it much anymore because they don't want anyone in America to know about it. They don't want anybody to know about this legislation that's been sitting in the U.S. House for all these years that could provide them with universal single-payer Medicare for all health care. And that's why they don't even want to talk about it. But this year, there's going to be a lot of Green Party candidates running for Congress. You're going to see a lot of Greens.
I've noticed that.
There's going to be a lot of Greens. 879%.
That's how many more candidates it was since the previous cycle. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's great. And if we can get a bunch of Greens on the ballot, well, there will be a bunch of Greens on the ballot. If we can get a bunch of these Greens elected to the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate this year, we can put H.R. 676 over the top with enough signatures to get it.
Right. And there is Felina Farley. She's running in Ohio as a senator, anybody. So there's another one. Then we've got Constance Goodell Newton, which next week we're going to interview, and she's running for governor. So we have a great chance of taking Ohio. Go ahead.
Yeah, Connie wants to get universal single-payer Medicare for all health care enacted for Ohio through the legislators in Ohio.
That could be a jumping point for national. And then that's when you would come in and Felina would come in and vote. See, brothers and sisters, this is why we need to get the Greens into office. We have them on the ballot now. We used to be talking about for the last 10, 20 years, we got to get on the ballot. Now Greens are on the ballot. So now we're talking about electing them. That's a grand change from what our talking points used to be. I want to play this clip quick here. This is a clip, and this is from Kasich, because when I had read these comments, I grabbed this clip, and it's about the issue too. And you already have alluded to as far as healthcare is concerned, but I just want to take a listen to this clip quick. And then we're going to play another clip as well, because I want you to hear Kasich talk about third parties as well. But let's listen to this.
Governor John Kasich with us in the studio tonight to talk about issue two. Everybody in the state's talking about it. I want to pick your brain first. The big argument against it is you're hurting the middle class by asking them to pay more into their retirement and to their health benefits. What do you say
to
that?
Well, no, I think we are hurting the middle class by letting some people pay zero for their health care and for their guaranteed pension. I mean, what we're asking state workers, not state workers, but government workers, because most state workers already pay it, what we're asking government workers to do is to help share in the solution here, and we're asking them to pay 15% for their health care and 10% for a guaranteed pension. And it isn't fair to ask people who are in the middle class who pay for their own family, then turn around and pay for some people that pay zero for those things. So, look, most people would like to sign up for a guaranteed pension.
Sure.
They'd like to sign up for only 15% for their health care. So I think it's very reasonable and very balanced, and if you take all the hype and hyperbole out, that's what it gets down to, and I think people agree with it.
Are you surprised at the uproar that this has gotten into? I mean, now that it's on the ballot and there's a lot of money being spent in the
not
campaigns
really,
against
not
it?
Not really. This is, you know, a lot of the people who are in the unions, and first of all, my father carried mail on his back for 29 years. You know, I grew up in a union town. This is not designed to go after and hurt some union. It's basically to say, look, if you're a government worker and you're not paying, you got to pay something because everybody else in the state is paying. But a lot of them have been riled up with, you know, with the scare tactics by the bosses, and it's okay. I mean, no, look, whenever you're a change agent, you're always going to have people unsettled. But, you know, at the same time, we've balanced our budget without a tax increase. Our credit rating is improved, and we're actually seeing some good things happen up here in the Northwest, the progress in North Baltimore, the progress with Chrysler, the progress with Johnson Controls, much of which we're involved with. You know, we're starting to see some light now.
Mm-hmm. How confident are you that this is going to pass?
I'm not a predictor. I'm not Muhammad Ali. I don't predict. I'm up. I go out. I tell people what's in it. And people will make their own decisions. And here's what I know. I know that if Ohioans understand what the issue is, they're going to support it because they don't want to pay twice. You take a single mom with a couple kids who's it's hard for her to get her health care. She probably has no pension, maybe a 401k.
Right.
And we're asking her, who's very tough to support her own family, also to support somebody else. She knows that. She's voting with us. We'll find out if she's going to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. There was a time where there was a talk about maybe taking it off the ballot and trying to work with people.
Yeah.
What was the thought behind that? Because some people initially thought, hey, he doesn't think it's going to pass, so we got to take it off.
You know, we're always so suspicious of people and their motives. You know, I've had a history throughout my public service career, and even when I was in business, of bringing people together. Look, the opposition didn't want to participate when we wrote the law. Mm-hmm. Then they came, the FOP and the education folks wanted to speak to somebody close to me, and I said, talk to them, and then they were yanked out of the room, and then I offered it again. Because, you know, you want to work things out if you can. But at the end of the day, people cannot avoid paying some of their health care and some of their pension. And, you know, when you hear it, I know what's going through your mind. I'm not a mind reader, but you're like,
okay, so he basically, that whole situation is basically a bill to take take health care out of their pensions. It's basically a modified version of health care savings accounts, in my view. What do you think by listening to that clip, Mr. Manchick?
Yeah, that's basically what it sounds like to me, a public option to maybe buy health care through the insurance, through Obamacare.
Yeah. Well, you think we need to just get rid of the insurance out of it altogether and not even try to tinker with it like that?
Yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to put everyone in America on Medicare for all. That's what it's all about, getting health care for everyone in America. The Medicare works good. Most of the people that are on Medicare love it. Why not let everybody in America have it?
Right. And it's just what they could actually do is just lift the age restriction on Medicare and Medicaid, and poof, we've got universal health care. But I do understand that there's some little intricates that have to be worked out and loopholes that would have to be closed, which is probably why they have that H.R. 476
H.R. 676 is what takes care of everything. All the details about providing universal health care for everyone in America are hammered out in H.R. 676, and that's what we need to get passed. We don't need the Senate version of universal single-payer health care because, in my view, that's just a scam on the American people. It's what the Senate version provides is a public option to buy Medicare health care insurance. And that's not health care for all. That's not universal single-payer health care. That's an option to buy health care, and that's not health care for everyone. That's not Medicare for all. It's just a public option to buy it if you have the money to buy it. There's a lot of poor people in America that don't have the money to buy their health care insurance.
Right, right. So let's say, and we want to also let the listening audience know about your special election. Can you tell the listening audience about that? Because I'm sure nobody knows that you have a special election coming up. Tell them what happened, if you would.
Yeah, what happened, the representative for Ohio's 12th Congressional District, Mr. Pat Teaberry, he actually quit his job in January of this year. And he took a job as a corporate lobbyist with the Ohio Business Roundtable. So today, the good people of Ohio's 12th Congressional District have zero representation in the U.S. House of Representatives because the guy they elected to office, Pat Teaberry, quit his job. And now he's a corporate lobbyist making even more money. So there's going to be a special election on August 7th to fill the unexpired term of Mr. Pat Teaberry, which runs out on January 3rd. So I'm going to be on the ballot twice this year. I'll be on the ballot three times, actually. I'll be in the primary election, which is on May 8th, and also in the special election on August 7th to fill the unexpired term of Pat Teaberry.
So, brothers and sisters, here's your chance. On August 7th, you can vote for Joe Manchin, put him in office, and then he can run again in November as an incumbent and the first Green Party member ever in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, exactly.
You can make that happen, brothers and sisters. You can make it happen. But go ahead, Mr. Manchin.
Well, I think you pretty much summed it all up right there. Yeah, I've got two opportunities to get elected to the U.S. House of Representatives this year.
Right, and we need to take advantage of it.
Special election on August 7th, and also in a general election on November 6th.
See, we need to take advantage of this, brothers and sisters. This is very unique. Another situation with Connie Goodell Newton. All she needs is 34% to become the governor of Ohio. Look how close we are to getting Greens in positions of power to where we can make a difference. Because all these Greens, all they're going to do is follow the 10 principles and the 4 pillars. Within the 10 principles, there is no taking corporate money. If the Green is found to be taking corporate money, then there's a subcommittee in the Green Party that you can bring them up on charges, and then it go to the national committee, and you could be booted from the party for taking corporate donations. So that is an excellent incentive for you, brothers and sisters. At least your congressman will not take corporate donations. So you need to donate to him. Joe, can you give the listening audience your your donation page is on the if you're listening in via Blog Talk or whatever, I put all of his information there, so you have all of his information. I also want to let everybody know who's listening in over on Blog Talk. If you go to another site or call in at 914-205-5327, we're actually going off the air on Blog Talk, but we'll still finish up this interview. And then everybody should be okay. So, like, I was just wanting to let you guys know that because you're going to have to we're down to 30 seconds in regulation via Blog Talk. So everybody who's listening in on Blog Talk, you want to call in if you want to continue the conversation. And it's always archived. And we'll also have it always archived on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, Ustream, Daily Motion, BitChute, all these social networking sites. So, Joe Manchek, we want to go ahead and do our best to donate to Brother Joe Manchek. His donation page is Manchek for Congress. That's M-A-N-C-H-I-K for Congress dot wordpress.com /donation-page. Or you can Google Joe Manchek donation and you'll see this donation page come up. You can follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/Joe_Manchek. And at Facebook, he has a Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe Manchek for Congress. And he also has a Facebook page or website, excuse me, manchekforcongress.wordpress.com. So you can get all the information you need from him from those sites, or you could just Google Joe Manchek and all of his stuff pops up and you guys can see what his views are. But from this interview, it seems that Brother Joe Manchek is going to focus a lot on your health care because that's what the big issue in the 12th District of Ohio. So he's going to fight for that. And I'm sure as issues come up nationally, he'll fight for the lefties and not be a right-wing corporatist posing as a lefty. You got a real lefty out here, brothers and sisters. You got a real lefty. He has two elections that he can win, and we need to support him. So get out there, vote, and canvass for him, phone bank, and also donate. Most importantly, donate. $5 a month or $5 every 2 weeks or what have you, from like 500 people, that will help him be able to move forward. We need TV ads and radio ads in order to get Joe Manchek a little more exposure to where he can pull this off. And he can do it, brothers and sisters. We need your help. So with that, I want to play this one last clip and have you listen to Kasich talk about third parties and have you give your view on it, Joe, and then we'll have you give a final statement, and we'll go ahead and close the show because we're running low on time here. So let me go ahead and play this clip. Let's take a listen.
We have not seen much cooperation across party lines lately, but two prominent governors are trying to change that. Republican John Kasich from Ohio, Democrat John Hickenlooper from Colorado. Two-term governors crisscrossing the country to talk about the policies they share, leading some to speculate that they could form a unity ticket in 2020. That came up when John Carl spoke to them on Friday. He began with their reflections on the school shooting in Florida.
We're at the point where we're allowing ourselves to be terrorized by ourselves, right? And that this, if you wanted to weaken this country, what better way to do it than to make children afraid to go to school? And you look at, it's not just schools, it's churches, it's listening to a country music concert. It's all the places that we create community are now being threatened by our inability to deal with this.
What I've asked people to do is, you've got to search your heart on this.
Yeah.
This is not about who's got political power. This is not about campaign contributions. This is about how you want to look in the mirror and think about what you did when you were in. Nobody wants to take everybody's guns away. Nobody wants to repeal the Second Amendment. Oh, a few people. But this is about reasonable approaches to keep our communities safe.
So I hear a lot of bipartisan agreement from you guys. I hear this often whenever the two of you get together. But I want to ask you something that you probably don't agree on. What's going to happen in the midterm elections? Are you going to be working to elect Democrats, I assume? I assume you're going to be working to elect Republicans?
I'll certainly work to elect Democrats. I expect the midterm elections to be a reflection largely of the Trump presidency, and we'll see how that pans out. But I think, the midterms, I mean, that's an election moment, right, that's going to be a kind of a referendum on the success of the administration.
I want to support candidates who I believe want to take the high road. Those that want to create discord and those that want to put the party in front of the country, I'm not showing up. I want to tell you another thing. We may be beginning to see the end of a two-party system. I'm starting to really wonder if we're going to see a multi-party system at some point in the future in this country, because I don't think either party is answering people's deepest concerns and needs.
I want to quote back something that you said about your party. You said about Donald Trump that I simply could not swallow hard and set aside everything I believed for the good of the party, and you decided obviously not to support him.
Well, the party is my vehicle, not my master. And,
but is that what too many Republicans are doing right now, is they're just swallowing hard?
Look, I'm not going to start criticizing others. Here's the thing that's interesting. You know, people want me to criticize my party. Let me tell you about the Democrats. I have no clue what they stand for. And we are heading into a midterm election where they are counting on the Republicans bouncing the basketball off of their foot out of bounds. And they're going to have a decent 2018, a good year. But how could you have a national political party that has no agenda? They just no agenda. And Democrats will tell you that.
Well, what's the agenda of the Republican Party?
Listen,
now both parties don't seem capable of having a coherent agenda.
That's exactly why I'm saying that our young people are fed up, and why I'm saying that the prospect of a multi-party system in this country is a real possibility.
Look, both of you guys are going to be out of office in about 11 months. Are you going to run for president?
You know, the moment I start talking about this, and I say it all the time, I've got an amazing cabinet working on a Swiss version.
Is that a maybe?
Okay, so now they had to start jerking each other off. But I wanted you guys to hear. Did you hear what John Kasich said? Brother Joe, can you respond to what they were saying?
Yeah, first of all, Kasich started talking with respect to gun control, and it sounded like he made a comment, something like, this has nothing to do with campaign contributions. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. Democrats
right.
and Republicans alike take a lot of money from the NRA. And
right.
the NRA is basically a lobbying organization that works for the corporations that manufacture the weapons of war, mainly automatic weapons and semi-automatic weapons and other weapons of war. And as far as I'm concerned, weapons of war like the AR-15 and bump stock and other automatic firearms have no place on the streets of America. This is something we need to get off the streets. They should not be allowed to be sold in the United States. Automatic weapons have no place in American society. These are weapons of war, and they should be used only by military personnel.
All right. And then what do you think about him when he said about the third parties, and then they started arguing?
Well,
he's
absolutely right about that. You know, people are starting to wake up and realize that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party no longer represent the American people. And that's why this is a really great opportunity for Green Party candidates to get elected this year, because we are the only alternative available. The Green Party is the only truly progressive political party in America, and the American people are sick and tired of what's coming out of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They're disgusted with it, and that's why the majority of Americans don't even bother to go to the polls to vote.
Right.
They've got nothing to vote for in their view. And, you know, many Americans don't even realize that the Green Party of the United States exists and that we do have candidates on the ballot, because you never hear about us on the American mainstream media corporations that are controlled by all that corporate cash that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party get. Yeah, you know, we in the Green Party, we don't have a whole lot of money to spend on advertising on television. And that's,
right.
You know, that's why the Democratic Party and the Republican Party only get the news media coverage. And they never even mention the Green Party in the United States. But,
right.
You know,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Once the American people start realizing that they do have a valid, viable alternative to the Democratic-Republican duopoly party that no longer works for them, they're going to start electing Green Party candidates.
And I believe, and they're starting to see it. I'm seeing it more and more on social media. I see
right.
Democrats complaining about Greens coming on their pages. I'm one of them that goes on the pages. But I see them complaining, like, gosh, where'd they all come from? You know, oh, it was a Demexit, you know, and they talk in their groups about, you know, everybody left. You know, it was like 8 million people walked out of the party. They went to the Greens. They went to PIP and all that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think this 2018 election is going to see a major shift in the political landscape and how we view politics, in my view. Because we're either A, going to elect Greens, or B, the CIA is taking over Congress. 25% of Democrats have CIA background that are running in 2018, 25%. And we now have a CIA guy as the Secretary of State. You think they're not going to try to pull a coup?
That's a scary thought. That's a real frightening thought right there.
It is. It is. So you see why I go crazy, brothers and sisters, all the time? Is because I can see what's coming, and I'm trying to blow the trumpet and let you guys know. So the Green Party is the only way to stop this coup that's coming. It's the only way. Or the CIA is going to run the country, and who knows what's going to happen from then. Because they are in cahoots with the military-industrial complex who runs our military. So
yeah, the military-industrial complex is pretty much running the government today.
Exactly. In cahoots with the bankers and the insurance companies and Big Pharma.
Yeah,
multinational. And Wall Street.
Corporations are pretty much running our government today
for
the benefit
of corporations.
It's fascism.
We're in fascism right now, brothers and sisters.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The United States is a fascist, plutocratic oligarchy today.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't have put it better myself. So we're actually out of almost – oh, geez, we're really almost out of time. So if you could give our listening audience just a brief, final statement, maybe give them some hope, what we can do, you know, just give them your final statement and give them your last pitch to vote for you or what have you, and then after that we'll go ahead and close out the show. You have the floor.
Yeah, the point that I want to stress is that there's a real opportunity for the American people to take our country back and our government back from the multinational corporations that are running it today. Stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. If you go to the polls to vote and there's no Green Party candidates on the ballot, do not vote for a Democrat or Republican. Just vote on the issues. Send the oligarchy a message. The oligarchy runs the Democratic-Republican duopoly party. Don't give them your vote. Vote for Green Party candidates at every opportunity. If you see a Green Party candidate on your ballot, vote for that person. But don't vote for any Democrats or Republicans. Send the oligarchy a message. Tell them you don't want any more Democrats or Republicans. And then just vote on the issues on your ballot if you don't see any Green Party candidates.
All right. Words to live by, brothers and sisters, and I hope you take heed to the warnings and to the message that Brother Joe Manchek brought you today.
Let me say one other thing. Yeah, the Green Party will give the American people a voice in our out-of-control government. That's what we want to do. Put us into office. Elect us. Give us an opportunity to give the American people a voice in our government. If you don't like what we do, then vote us out of office. But the Green Party is all about giving power to the people. We want to start a movement to give power to the people. So get out and vote Green Party. Vote in the primary elections. Go to your polls to vote in the primary elections and ask for a Green Party ballot. And vote for all Green Party candidates. And then vote in the general election. Vote for all the Green Party candidates.
Yep.
We'll give
and
the
one
American
thing you
people
can
a
know
voice
for
in
sure.
government.
Yes, sir. One thing you guys can know for sure is that no matter if the Green Party candidate is a good one or bad one, he can't take corporate donations. So
that's right.
there's no reason why not to go all green up and down the ballot, because none of them take money. So that's one thing you don't have to worry about. So with that, I'll go ahead and close the show. Thank you guys for listening in. I hope you enjoyed it. We will try to get with you guys and get some more interviews going. So thanks again for listening in. Until we meet again at the appointed time. Goodbye, everybody.